your spiritual gifts. And it's my hope and prayer and desire that during these weeks together, I'm looking about at what the New Testament says about spiritual gifts, that we'll have a little bit better understanding of not only what our spiritual gifts are, what your particular spiritual gift or gift may be, and how we can appropriate those and use those for the glory of God and the kingdom's work. And in your outline this morning, you've got it, or in your study guide this morning, you've got what I'll be sharing with you here in just a few moments. Unwrapping your spiritual gifts, and this is part two. We started last Sunday, of course. And I want to share with you the passage which is the foundation of what we'll be sharing today and in the weeks to come. The buzzer goes off. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul wrote to the church. I'm waiting to see if the Lord's got a message for me. Oh, is it a smoke alarm? We're good, then. All right, I think we're good. What did we do before electronics? I don't know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, there's a very simple yet very profound verse that where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and you need to remember the context. There was no church that gave Paul more grief than the church at Corinth. They were carnal in so many ways. They couldn't get along. They just walked in the flesh. Pardon? Okay. Okay, we're good then. We know what it is. Good. But don't turn it off, please. We got a good nurse taking care of it. But in the passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with the church that Paul struggled in their relationship. He loved them, and they loved him, but Corinth was infected and infested with the culture of its day. And if we're not careful as a church family, any church family, no matter where it is, what size church, what kind of church it is, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the world in which we live more than the word which God gives us to live by. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:1, we shared this last Sunday, "Now concerning spiritual, pneumatikon, pneuma from the word breath or spirit, are now concerning spiritual gifts or the spirituals, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And then he goes on and lists a number of manifest spiritual gifts, manifestation gifts, if you will. And we'll get to those in the coming weeks. But this morning, I want us to focus on Romans chapter 12 and read verses 1 through 8 and think together about unwrapping your spiritual gifts. And today we're going to look at 7 or 8 spiritual gifts and the uniqueness of those gifts. Just a while ago, Libby and I were visiting and people were coming in, we're getting ready to start, and she said, "Do you know what my spiritual gift is?" And I had a moment for pause because I really hadn't thought about our spiritual gift as a family, hers as hers and mine. But I told her, "Give me a little time to think about that. I want to get this one right if I have to come up with a suggestion." But your spiritual gift may be just taking care of me. That's a lot to do, but you do it so well. I love old people. Yeah. I'm sorry. Are we ready to get back on the spiritual gifts? Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Rome. I beseech you therefore, brethren, well, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. I've got those underlined and marked in my Bible. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or discover firsthand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, follow along closely, because Paul's going to introduce some spiritual gifts I think we're going to find very interesting. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function or the same responsibilities, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, and notice carefully what he says. We're going to be going to several different places in the weeks to come in verses, and we're going to notice there are different types of spiritual gifts. And here, Paul deals with what I've chosen to call the ministry gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Paul takes makes great efforts to introduce the church to that understanding of spiritual gifts that's important for every body of believers to have. And Paul begins by introducing them to the various types of gifts, and introduces that by saying there are none higher or lower than the others. There are none more spiritual or less spiritual. None that are superior to the others. They're just God's gifts to us. And the two or three simple truths. If you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus, one of the things the Scripture says is that you are gifted. Whether you realize exactly what it is or not, I can promise you, you are a gifted child of God. And secondly, that gift not only shows up at church, it shows up in everyday life, because the gifts affect every area of our lives that is impacted by our influence. And so when we look at these, let's look at them together. For example, we're going to look at the gift of prophecy a moment. It's the very first one he lists in chapter 12. And maybe your first thought is, well, it has something to do with preaching or proclamation. And that's reasonable to think that. The word prophet, of course, comes from that. But you don't have to be a preacher to have the gift of prophecy. You don't have to be an ordained minister or a staff member. Let me share with you a little bit about the gift of prophecy. And see, and you may have a pen or a pencil in hand, and just think about that. God may bring a name to your mind, a face to your mind, a person to your mind, who God speaks to your heart. You may be thinking, that's the spiritual gift I see in them. First of all, let's look at the one of prophecy. One who loves to proclaim truth and reveals wrong actions and motives by persuasively convincing others. One who brings to light things concealed while despising the evil and grasping the good. The gift of prophecy wants to declare truth. The gift of prophecy wants to make known truth to people everywhere and anywhere in the realm of our influence. And as a spiritual gift, the gift of prophecy is a desire to declare truth that will change people's lives, and wants to be the gift wants to be influential in moving people towards spiritual growth. Now, there are some folks, when they see the world around us, they get so accustomed to it and so used to the world as it is that we're no longer challenged to be a different people. But somebody with the gift of prophecy has a propensity to be more disturbed by and more bothered by and more concerned over the spiritual condition of the world around us. It's not just, prophecy is not just for foretelling. It's not just foretelling the future. That's not what I think is primarily spoken of here. But it's forthtelling, or desire to proclaim, forthtelling the glorious truth of the gospel. Now, for example, I believe there are several qualities about somebody's life if they have the gift of prophecy. Somebody with the gift of prophecy most likely and most probably has little patience with people who don't take the word of God seriously, because the prophet takes it very, very seriously. A person with the gift of prophecy is not easily dissuaded, and is not easily persuaded to go a different direction, but is grounded and rooted in the wonderful truth of the word of God and holds it sacred. And all of God's people do that and should do that, but it's even more so for somebody with the gift of prophecy. They despise evil and grasp the good, and they want to bring to light things that are concealed. The prophet wants to declare truth, whether it's personal in a one-on-one relationship, or whether it's in the teaching a Sunday school class, or whether it's wherever the patterns of life may take you. The gift of prophecy is something that every church needs. By the way, the gift of prophecy is, how shall I put this? The gift of prophecy lends itself not to flexibility, but to a rigid and dedicated adherence to the truth of God, and a spirit that does not want to compromise truth, but wants to stand on it and doesn't want to change it to meet people's needs. For example, a person with the gift of prophecy probably will care a little bit more about having spoken the truth than about how it affected the person to whom they spoke it, and by having a bearing on their feelings or their how it affected them. Because the gift of prophecy wants to hold on to truth, declare truth, proclaim truth, and challenge others with truth. Gift of prophecy. We'll say more about the gift of prophecy in the weeks to come. Then there are the ministry gifts of service, verse 7, and hospitality. Service and hospitality. One, the spiritual gift is manifested as one who loves to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs with an innate ability to see and determine needs in other people's lives and meeting them. I could pull up a pew and have a seat right here. Let me talk to you about the spiritual gift of service and hospitality. That's the person that doesn't mind carrying somebody to the hospital. That's the person who doesn't mind going helping somebody who needs somebody helping buy groceries. That's somebody who doesn't mind sitting with somebody if they need somebody for health reasons. And ministry and service and hospitality, they want to bake an apple pie when somebody has a problem and comes home from the hospital. They want to minister to folks and care for folks. And may I say, I have seen in so many, many ways both the gift of prophecy and exercised. As I have seen you and watched you and those who serve the Lord together, I've seen folks that I believe have the gift of prophecy, but I see a lot of folks that I believe may have the gift of hospitality and the gift of ministry and service, because it wants to do something to help people that are struggling and wants to be a minister to others. You may have never thought about that, but the truth is, there's one thing to have concern on serious occasions, but these people who have the gift of ministry or service or hospitality, their whole lifestyle is, what can I do to minister to somebody else and to help them and to walk with them through their stuff and through their struggles? So you may have the gift of ministry or the gift of service and hospitality. Then fourthly, or thirdly, the gift of teaching. Verse 7. The gift of teaching, Paul describes, one who loves to clarify biblical truth from searching out God's word and breaking it searching out biblical truth, from searching out God's word and breaking it into practical, understandable pieces so others can receive it. Now, the person of the spiritual gift of teaching may or may not be a teacher, but they find great fulfillment in opening the truth and revealing the truth from God's word. We've got some wonderful teachers in our church who I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that wasn't their primary spiritual gift, because you teach and you love sharing the word, and you do it so well, you do it so effectively and appropriately. The gift of teaching consists to clarify biblical truth. They don't necessarily want a pulpit. They just want an opportunity to share somebody's, to share truth with somebody else. For example, the person with the gift of teaching may want to and may find great fulfillment in ministering to and mentoring somebody else in the Word of God. Having a young Christian come along with them, a young lady or a young man that you can invest your life in and teach them God's truth, may not have anything to do with them standing behind the pulpit, but to have something to do with sharing God's truth. So the gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry and service, hospitality, teaching, clarifying biblical truth. And then the next one is the gift of exhortation and encouragement. For several years, and I mentioned this last Sunday, and I mentioned it just briefly this morning, if somebody had asked me what my spiritual gift was, I would have thought that it was probably prophecy. There were several reasons why I believe that, but I've, in discussions with several people that I have great confidence in, who know me pretty well, have said, "Brother Jackie, that may be, but I feel like," others have said to me, "your spiritual gift is exhortation or encouragement." And I mentioned this last Sunday. And I began to look at my ministry and how God had opened up doors for service in churches and in places of service, and how the gift of exhortation and encouragement found its way into a ministry that is needed everywhere. It's one of those, this is somebody who encourages others in their spiritual growth and Christian journey. Encourager wants to help people along life's way. They don't necessarily care for being in the spotlight. They just want Jesus to be honored and glorified as they exercise their spiritual gift. And by the way, you may be ministering to somebody. You may be caring for somebody. You may be teaching. You may not have thought about it in terms of your spiritual gift. But maybe there's somebody else out there in your family or your circle of friends who look at you and realize, hey, there's something unique about him or her. And there's some of the folks who recognize your gift, maybe even more than you do. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. And let me give you a little example. I was so blessed a few weeks ago. I had the opportunity to go and be a part of the funeral service. And one of our sweet, sweet friends in Town Creek, Alabama. Anybody know where Town Creek, Alabama is? And I served a little church there called Bethany Baptist Church, Libby and I did, and our sweet family. And there was a young man in that church that his family had been praying for him for a long time. And I remember the day that his name was Bain. I remember the day he walked down the aisle and gave his heart and life to Jesus. I'd witnessed to him on a number of occasions, and I hadn't had many opportunities to be encouraged by how I thought he was coming along. But the Lord broke his heart. The Lord bent his spirit. The Lord called him to a relationship with him. And I went to this funeral 45, 50 years later of his sister. Is that right? The Baines. We'll get it later. We're neither one can remember their names. But at the graveside, this dear brother came up to me and said, "Jackie, I remember a sermon you preached on Sunday morning 45, 50 years ago. And through the years, how God has used you to minister to my life, and I never would have had an idea that God would use something as simple as he had shared, just walking along life's journey together. The ministry of exhortation and encouragement, encouraging others in their spiritual growth." And he thanked me for just leading him to faith in Jesus. One of the ones that I think is interesting is the gift of giving. While we think that most likely the gift of giving would manifest itself in somebody being very gracious and very generous in their giving, that may be the truth. The gift of giving wants to bless others and minister others. Let me share with you what I in your notes. One who loves to impart and entrust personal assets to others for the furtherance of their ministry with a pure and generous motive and no strings attached. One who can organize personal business in order to gain these assets and wisely knows how to where and give to give by using godly business sense, even in charity to strangers. I believe I've known several people through the years of the gift of giving. Doesn't mean you've got to be wealthy. Doesn't mean you've got to be a financier of large business ventures. But you want to give. You want to invest. You want to bless other people. Can I share with you a really quick little story? It was Easter Sunday morning at our little church in Texas when we were in seminary. Looked on the back row of that little church one morning, and I saw a great big old burly Texas mountain man and his sweet wife and their three children, all in grades junior high and lower. And I had the privilege of leading that man to Christ in his home. He was sitting in a broken down recliner in an old mobile home. And I had no idea that God was going to use that man to influence my life as much as anybody that I could remember in a long, long time. He's in heaven now. But when the Lord called us to a church in Gulfport, Mississippi, my dear friend, and by the way, he and his wife and all their children had been saved. And we were called to a church in Mississippi. His heart was broken. He had never had another pastor. I was the only pastor he'd ever known. And he didn't understand that I was called to go to another place of service. Well, that was several years. We stayed in contact, and we went out to see them often in Texas. We continued that relationship. And then several years later, about 8 or 9 years later, God called me into evangelism to go in and share the word as an evangelist. And by this time, his name is Larry. He asked what I was going to do. And I told him, he said, you don't have a business that underwrites you? And I said, oh, no. He said, how are you going to make a living? I said, we're going to just trust the Lord for the resources that we need. God's faithful. And by the way, by this time, Larry had come out of financial difficulties, had become very successful in his business of building retaining walls in Texas, and was a very well-to-do businessman. And he said, I want you to come to Weatherford, Texas, and I want to talk to you about something I've got on my mind. And when we traveled to Texas, we were driving across one of his ranches one day, and he said, I want to be a part of what God's doing in your life. I want to be a part of your ministry. I just want to talk to you about what I believe the Lord wants me to do. I said, Larry, I didn't come out here to ask you for anything. I didn't come out here to try to get you to underwrite anything. He said, no, I want to do this, and I believe the Lord's leading me to do it. And he said, I'm not so sure what all I can do to help you in your ministry of evangelism. He said, I know I can do at least $50,000 the first year. Did y'all hear that? And for 52 weeks, that man wrote the ministry, Looking Up Ministries, a check for $1,000 a week for 52 weeks. Folks, I want to tell you, I just like to have a glory, hallelujah, come to Jesus spell. I hear about things like this, but to experience it in such a generous way, it blew me away. That man, I believe, had the gift of giving. And it didn't bother him to give. He wanted to give, and he gave out of his heart, out of his love for the Lord. And then, quickly, the spiritual gift of ruling or administration or leadership. And I wrote down here, one who loves to lead others by organizing the activities needed for their common goals. One with who with zeal does his job effectively by being a good leader and by discerning the major objectives. by helping others around him or her to visualize these objectives and their efforts together. Ruling, administration leadership. I'm going to use somebody for an example here in just a moment, and I hope that you don't mind. I don't think you will. I've seen this gift, I think, manifested in several lives, and I'm going to pick one. Sandy Gestry. When I think about the gift of organization and the gift of administration and the gift of leadership, I think about you. I look and see how you organize to the T, how you set goals and how you reach those goals and serve the Lord. And I don't know if that's ever crossed your mind or not, but it's crossed my mind a long time ago. In fact, I see those traits in several of you as a church family. And by the way, ruling or leading and administration aren't always the same. For example, I believe that I have gifts in the area of leadership and administration or serving or giving leadership, but I do not have the gift of administration. I have trouble when it comes time to balance my checkbook. And don't y'all look so spiritual. I bet you somebody else has got trouble balancing their own checkbook. But the truth is, I love leading, but my primary spiritual gift is that of encouragement and exhortation. But there are those of you who are here who have that gift of leadership, and it shows in the committee meetings, it shows in church planning, it shows in ministry, and thank God for those wonderful gifts. And then lastly is the gift of mercy. Now, when I say lastly, not the last of the gifts, but the last of the ministry gifts, we're going to look at the gift of tongues and the gift of the prophecy. Not prophecy, but the gift of the tongues. And what do you do when you... Interpret, thank you. Interpretation. I just had one of those moments. Interpretation of tongues. We're going to deal with all those in the weeks to come. But I want to tell you, this wonderful gift of mercy is one that blesses me beyond measure. And let's look at mercy for just a moment and we'll wrap it up. One who loves to identify with others and comfort others in distress and to help them out, especially with a concern for hurt feelings. One who emotionally and mentally feels the hurt with others and their misfortune. Excuse me, I already read that. And misery, while giving them the aid that they need, but in a sensitive way. The gift of prophecy says, let's do this, let's do it by the book, let's do it in this way, straightforward, no uncertainties. The gift of mercy says, let's be careful about their feelings. How can we help somebody who's hurting or struggling? How can we minister to somebody who is having a difficult time? And mercy cares more about the effect that actions and words have on an individual than accomplishing a goal. A person with the gift of prophecy will be more likely, more concerned with accomplishing something and getting the task done and getting it done right. Now, what am I saying? I planned this morning to talk to you about the deterrence of discovering your spiritual gifts and discovering your spiritual gifts, but we'll hold off those till tonight or next Sunday. I was going to preach next Sunday on the gift of prophecy, but we'll see how far we get tonight in the service. Hope that you'll stay with us in our series on spiritual gifts. And I just want to tell you this and wrap it up. If you're saved, you know that you're gifted. If you know your spiritual gift, thank God. Ask God to use you for His honor and for His glory. By the way, every time God saves somebody, He saves you with the goal that you will be a blessing to somebody else. And I pray the Lord will cause us to be so humbled and blessed by the very fact that God has chosen to gift us. And we'll say, Lord, here am I. You send me. Use me however you want to use me. And there's no superior gift. There's no There's no inferior gift. If you're gifted, you're called to serve, and God's got a plan for your life. Let's pray together.